All right, open your Bibles to Judges, I believe chapter 14. I'm going to tell you, it's been 3 or maybe 4 weeks since we were in the book of Judges, and I kind of lost track. I have trouble keeping track anyway, and when it's been that long, but I think it's chapter 14. And when you begin to read or study the book of Judges, you know, probably the two most famous judges are Caleb and Samson. And or Gideon, rather, Gideon and Samson. And when we get to Samson, which we're to now, it is one of the most baffling places, I think, in Scripture. I guess that would be the way to say it. We found in chapter 13 that God had chosen Samson to be a deliverer, a judge of Israel, and that he was a Nazarite from the womb. The Nazarite vow consisted of three things: that they were to take no wine, that their hair was not to be cut, no razor on their hair, and they were to not touch a dead body. And then he was chosen to serve, and so, you know, he's born and he grows up and becomes a man. And I just tell you from the... It seems like from the moment that he became a man and able to make his own decision, he just made one bad decision after another. Yet God used him. As I find some comfort in that. You know, we all make mistakes, and we all make sometimes we make poor choices. But if we will be yielded to God, he'll use us anyway. Sometimes even use those choices to work to accomplish His will, which He seems to have done with Samson. So we'll start in chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife." Now there were seven nations in the land of Canaan, seven nationalities in the land of Canaan. The Philistines were not one of those seven. And you remember when the Israelites came to the promised land and God was giving them instruction, He told them, "Do not marry any of the, don't let their women marry your men, and don't let your, vice versa," however you want to say it. And, but the Philistines were not one of those seven nations. However, Samson's choice of a Philistine woman for wife was a poor choice at best. Some would argue that it was a sinful choice. I guess in the sense that God has told us and God has directed us to not be unequally yoked together. We would call it a sin in that sense. But at the very least, it was a poor choice. But You know Samson, now he's going to do this again with another woman. He sees her and he wants her, and that's just all there is to it. He's headstrong. Verse 3, "Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'" Mom and dad said, "Now look, son, there's all these Israelite women. Surely there's one woman in all the nation of Israel that you could choose to marry." And he said, "No, it's got to be her." Then comes verse 4, which makes all of this very interesting. "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, that God sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." This choice was of the Lord. God allowed the marriage, I guess, maybe, if we wanted to say it that way. And the reason he did is because he was seeking something to happen to make a wedge between the Israelites and the Philistines. And the reason for that is because the Philistines had dominion over Israel. If we go back, I think it'll be chapter 13. Yes, the very first verse of chapter 13 tells us that Israel had sinned again in the sight of the Lord, so God delivered them to the hand of the Philistines, and they'd been in the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. So we're somewhere toward the end of that 40-year period, not completely there, but somewhere close to the end of that 40 year. And God wants to deliver the Israelites. They have begun to cry out to him, apparently. And so he wants to deliver them. So he's seeking an occasion for that to happen, a way for that to happen. Verse 5, then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. They go together. They're going down to see this woman. And on the way, a lion comes out and, threatens them. What is it? You know, he wants to eat him, I guess. I don't know. And the Spirit of the Lord, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, this to me, that's what I say this is. The whole thing about Samson is just a little baffling sometimes. Verse 5 says that Samson and his father and his mother went to Timnath, seemingly together. They come on the way. They come to the vineyards of Timnath. And this lion comes out. Samson kills the lion like he would kill a baby goat with his bare hands. The Spirit of God come upon him. And he gave him the power and he killed this lion. But his father and his mother apparently weren't there then. Because they didn't know it and he didn't tell them about it. So I don't know if when they got to the vineyards they separated. Or when they got to the vineyards and the lion came out, you know, Samson told them to run. Or I would have run. If he'd have told me to run, I'd have run. I don't know. Somehow they got separated. Samson killed the lion. But he didn't say anything to his folks about killing the lion. That's significant. It will be in about a year. It will be significant. Verse 7, he went down and talked with the woman. And she pleased Samson well. Now, don't you find that verse interesting? He talked to her. He's already selected her to be his wife. Verse 7, he talked to her and she pleased him. Kind of seems like this is the first conversation they've had. So I kind of think maybe, you know, Samson seems to have been driven visually and attracted to women visually. And it sort of seems like that this woman, whoever he was, he saw her. And I guess she was pretty, or at least he thought she was. And so he thought, you know, I think I'll marry her. And so he went and told mom and dad, so here we are. Verse 7 is also interesting because in the Eastern culture at the time, this conversation was prohibited. Unless the couple was already betrothed to one another. They weren't yet. As a matter of fact, it seems like maybe this conversation was about the betrothal. So I don't know how this came about. Samson was, it seems like his whole adult life at least, he didn't care about customs. He didn't care about tradition. He didn't care. He just did what he wanted to do, it almost seems like. And yet he was used of God. Mightily to deliver the nation of Israel. Maybe that's why he was used of God, because he was such an independent personality. God, of course, knew what he would be like before he was born, and perhaps that's why God selected him. Verse 8, and after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, from verse 7 to verse 8 is probably about a year. Most engagements, betrothals, were about a year. They were betrothed, and then the wedding ceremony took place. Of course, you know the betrothal was a legal arrangement where they were legally married, but they didn't live together. And the time span between the betrothal and the ceremony itself was usually about a year. So this has probably been about a year, and he comes back. And on his way back, he turns aside into the vineyard of Timnath to see this, to look at the lion that he killed, I guess. And when he got there, in the carcass of the lion, there was a swarm of bees, and they had made honey. And so verse 9 says that he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. This was not unusual. Of course, if it's been a year, the skin and the meat of the lion has been eaten by other animals or decayed to the extent that it's probably just a skeleton. And so probably in the skeleton there, in the chest cavity, somewhere in there, this swarm of bees has made a hive and they have produced honey. That was not unusual. Wild animals would often take refuge in the carcass of another animal just because it provided refuge. And as Samson passed by and he sees that, he reaches in there. He's a brave dude, isn't he? I mean, he killed a lion and he reaches into a hive of bees. And he gets some of the honey and he eats it. And when he gets to mom and dad, he shares some of the honey with mom and dad. But, again, the verse tells us he doesn't say anything to them about where he got it. He still hasn't told them that he killed the lion. And he didn't tell them that he got the honey out of the lion. Now, you remember Samson is a Nazarite. And one of the three vows of the Nazarite is that they will not touch a dead body. Samson obviously touched the dead body, the carcass of this lion, to get this honey. Now, some believe that because of that, he violated his Nazarite vow. He committed a sin. Others believe that the Nazarite vow pertained only to a human body, and so that he did not sin. I don't know why that seems to be sort of a big deal in some circles among some people. I don't know why, because I think if you're looking for Samson and sin, you can find it without worrying about him touching this dead lion. Verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. The wedding feast usually lasted 7 days among the Israelites. It seems like probably this wedding took place among the Philistines, because that's where the bride was. But still, it was probably a 7-day feast. The rest of the chapter will support that. I don't know where his mother was. It says his father went down unto the woman. His mother came with them. But at this moment, maybe his father went to get the bride and bring her up. I don't know how it worked. But they have the wedding, the official ceremony, and then the wedding feast begins, and that's going to be a 7-day feast. Verse 11, and it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now, here's another thing that's odd. The 30 companions are 30 Philistines. When they saw him, verse 11 says, when they saw him, I'm assuming that to be the bride's parents or the Philistine people who saw Samson coming and knew that he was coming for this wedding. They gathered up 30 young men to be his groomsmen, is what we would call them. The Bible calls them the friends of the groom. But there are 30 Philistines. You'd think he would have brought some friends with him to stand up for him, but he doesn't. Brings no one, just his parents. And so he has 30 Philistine men who serve as his groomsmen or his friends. I just find all that odd. Maybe you read that and it just makes perfect sense to you, but it just seems odd to me. Verse 12, and Samson said unto them, that is to the 30 friends, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. Now, why did he do this? I don't know. It doesn't seem like something you would do at a wedding. Maybe he appreciated his own cleverness, and maybe he just wanted 30 changes of garments. I don't know. But he puts forth a riddle, apparently on the first day of the wedding feast. And he says, if you can figure it out, you 30 guys, all 30 of you together now, if you can figure it out, then I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments, one for each. The 30 sheets were the Philistine men wore of, I don't know how to describe it, I'm just going to say a wrap. Not really a robe, but a wrap, and I guess an outer garment. And that was what the 30 sheets were. The 30 change of garments, I'm guessing, would be then what they wore under the outer wrap. Not necessarily undergarments, but under the outer wrap. So he said, if you figure it out, I'll give you each a sheet and a change of garment. If you can't figure it out, then you give me 30. Verse 13. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments? And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. That, you know, it sounded like a good deal to them. I'm sure they figured that they could figure it out. He was an Israelite. The Philistines were rulers over the Israelites. And so I'm sure they felt superior intellectually. They probably felt superior physically, although they weren't. They probably felt that way. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Now, obviously, he's talking about the carcass of the lion and the bees in the carcass and the honey that came from the carcass. But, of course, they don't know that. And Samson has told no one. He didn't tell his parents when he killed the lion. He didn't tell his parents where he got the honey. So by the third day of the feast, they still hadn't figured out the riddle. That brings us to verse 15. These 30 guys were real upright guys. And it came to pass on the seventh day. Now this gets difficult, I guess, by interpretation. But I think what this must mean is that during the 7 days of the feast, and I think that will make sense as we read the rest of this, that they said unto Samson's wife, "Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so?" Now listen, we're talking about, if you'd let me put it in our language, we're talking about a coat and a pair of pants and a shirt. And in 3 days, they haven't figured it out. So they go to his new wife and they say, "Listen, if you don't find out what this riddle is, we're going to burn your father's house down with you in it for a coat and a pair of pants and a shirt." I think that's probably more of an indication of the unwillingness to succumb to an Israelite than it is anything else. These 30 Philistine men didn't want the other Philistine men to look at them and think they had failed to overcome an Israelite. Verse 16, "And Samson's wife wept before him." Oh, ladies, forgive me, but the age-old trick. Right? "And she said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not." Now, we know the story of Samson, right? And we know the story of Samson and Delilah. And doesn't this sound familiar already? "Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me." And he said unto her, "Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee?" He said, "I haven't told anybody. Why should I tell you?" What Samson doesn't say, whether he wondered it or not, I don't know. But what he doesn't say is, why do you want to know? Or, how do you even know about the riddle to begin with? Now, maybe she was present when he told the riddle. It doesn't seem like she was, but it's a possibility. But on the third day of the feast, she comes to him crying. "Oh, you just don't love me, or you would tell me." Don't you think, I think I would wonder, well, why do you care? Why do you want to know? Same thing with Delilah. You know, after the first couple of times when she did what he said would take away his strength, I'd be thinking, now, why is this woman wanting to do this? You know, that never seems to enter Samson's mind. Verse 17, "And she wept before him the 7 days." So during the 7 days of the feast. So it seems like on the third day they went to her, and starting perhaps with the third night of the feast and for the next 4 nights of the feast while they're alone, she weeps and she moans and she complains and she cries and she nags. And she says, "If you just loved me." "And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her." She wore him down, just like Delilah, "because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people." He told her. She told them. Now, I read commentaries, and it's interesting sometimes what they say. I did read one guy that he said this is clear evidence that she cared nothing about Samson because she told the riddle to her Philistine friends. Well, I don't necessarily think it's clear evidence that she didn't care anything about Samson. All it was going to cost him, if they didn't figure it out, or if they did figure it out, all it was going to cost Samson was 30 changes of garments, 30 coats, 30 pairs of pants, 30 shirts. If they didn't figure it out, it was going to cost her life. So I'm not sure this is an indication of her lack of love for Samson. I have no idea whether she loved him or not. But it's certainly an indication of her love for herself. You know, I want to live. Self-preservation, probably all would have done the same thing. So verse 18, the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? They figured out the riddle. And he said unto them, I love this verse. And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. Now I want you to know, Sherrod's not in here, but if I ever called her a heifer, boy, would I be in trouble. Samson is a newlywed, 7 days married, and he calls her a heifer. All he meant by that was, if you had not used my wife to get to me, you would have never figured this out. Verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them of the Philistines, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Now, this time when Samson killed these 30 Philistines at Ashkelon was actually a battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. Samson was present. It took place apparently right after his wedding and the seven-day feast. And he, by himself, killed 30 Philistine men. He took their sheet, their wrap, and their clothing, and he gave it to these 30 men. And then the Bible says, at the end of that verse, his anger was kindled. You'd thought he was mad to go kill those 30 guys. Maybe he was. But his anger was kindled, and he went home. He didn't go back and get his wife. He went back home. Remember, Samson lives among the Israelites, and his wife lives among the Philistines. They don't live in the same town. So instead of going to get his wife and taking her back home with him, he just goes back home to his dad's house without his wife. Now, there's no indication that Samson never intended to go back and get his wife. The father of the woman, the Philistine woman, has no reason, as near as I can tell from Scripture, he has no reason to believe that Samson is not coming. He just didn't come at this time. But verse 20 says, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, one of those 30 guys. And I'm taking it to mean that there must have been one of them that served as what we would call the best man, because he's referred to as his companion. And so, the father-in-law took his daughter and gave it to the companion whom he had used as his friend, and she became his wife. Now, you know, it's just entirely possible that Samson's father-in-law didn't want his wife married to an Israelite because the Israelites were the enemy. Because Samson had killed 30... Listen, they knew what he did. He had killed 30 Philistines in order to get the garments in order to fulfill the payoff for the vow. And the Philistines knew that. They came back and talked about it. So it's just possible that his father-in-law thought, well, this is my chance. I don't want my daughter to be married to the enemy, so I'll give her to this other guy, and everything will be all right. I think that must have been what happened, because it doesn't seem like he objected before the wedding, but after the death of the 30 men, after the battle, seems like he doesn't want her married to Samson because he's an Israelite. Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll pick it. It just gets more interesting with Samson. You know his story, but we're going to talk about him a little bit, him and Delilah. Samson's weakness was definitely women. Wouldn't you agree with me on that? They've been the weakness of man since Adam and Eve. Would you agree with me on that? Thank you. Whew, I better get out of here while I still can. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed.